What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the countdown. Another week has gone by. And guess what? Last week, we talked about predictions for the Eastern Conference Finals, for NHL, for NBA. A lot of surprising things have happened in the first couple of games. While me and Hunter are recording this, the Panthers and the Hurricanes are playing, which we'll talk about their series here in a little bit. The Thunder and OKC play game... The Thunder and Wolves play game 4. The Knicks just come off game 3 and 1. 20 points down, came back and won the game. And the most competitive series, this might be crazy to me, is probably the Oilers and the Stars out of the four. I mean, I hate to say it, the Stars at least looked formidable in their game that they won, but they got beat down in their last matchup between the Oilers. Overall, our thoughts on the Eastern Conference Finals for the NBA and the NHL? Not that great. Really. I mean, I don't think they've been ultra exciting. I think the semis were a lot more exciting. I think the first round was actually a lot more exciting in both. It's not really been a back and forth clash. We've seen a comeback for some teams in some games. We've seen the one game win, right? The Knicks, the Wolves, the Stars winning. But outside of that, I don't think it's been ultra exciting. And the winner and the ones we picked, man, you got the Wolves. You have the Wolves in 7, right? That was your pick. The Hurricanes have been a catastrophe for you. We'll get to them later. And the Stars, the Stars are still the fighting chance. So you're 2 out of 3, you're still fighting, right? Knicks still fighting for me. Thunder still up in the lead. The Panthers are, massacring the Hurricanes. But I'll start with the NBA. We will. Oklahoma City and the T-Wolves. It's the more interesting series, let's be real. It really is. Love the Pacers and love the Knicks, but this is the find-out series, right? This is what we were going to find out between Anthony Edwards and SGA. SGA winning MVP. He's had a great season. He's balled out. Honestly, this probably could have been his second MVP. He balled out all last year. He was my MVP last year.
He should be a second MVP. Yeah, he should be. Yeah, he should have won MVP back-to-back. Me and you both agreed that last year that he got snubbed.
But, yeah, I thought he should have won last year. And I think, winning this year, Oklahoma City's on a different level than they were last year. This is my opinion, in the playoff-wise. They look a lot different. They look better. The Wolves were awful. Julius Randle was awful in game 2. I mean, they had 2 points at half. He was horrible in game 2. Anthony Edwards balled out game 3. Did great. I still think... And I had Oklahoma City in 6. I picked OKC in 6 originally. I'm almost clarified if they can win this to me. I'm still going to stick with 6, but I actually like my chances they can win it in 5. I like my chances they can win it in 5.
Settle down. It's a 2-1 series. Relax. Pump the brakes. Let's not go crazy yet.
Well, when this episode comes out, man, it might be 3-1.
But let's just pump the brakes, okay? We don't know how they're going to play. Timberwolves look really good game 3. I think that builds momentum. I think this is a longer series. Knicks and Pacers, no. I have no faith in the East on either side of the playoffs. The East playoffs and basketball and hockey have been garbage. It's been awful. I think the best series in the Eastern Conference in both sports has been.
Well, I hope you'd say the NBA.
When it was Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And the Panthers. That went 7. Other than that, dude, the NBA has been bad. It has been bad on the Eastern side the whole series. There has not been one good, tough series in the East. They've all been in 5 or sweeps. It's just not fun to watch. It's not entertaining. It's very bad.
Well, the Knicks and Pistons were fun. That was a fun demi series.
Okay, one game, Cam, out of how many?
No, the whole series was great. What are you talking about?
And that's what I'm saying. But how many games, how many 6. Series is one? One series out of, how many? That's what I'm talking
right.
about. It's been bad. All around, the NBA has been bad in the playoffs. It's not fun to watch. I fall asleep.
It's debatable.
It's boring. The NBA Nuggets playoffs
and Nuggets
boring.
And Thunder were great. Clippers
and West.
Nuggets.
And the
Clippers,
West. West has been awesome to watch. I'm talking East. I'm strictly talking Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference NBA playoffs have been garbage, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's been rough.
It's been awful. NBA, I only care about the West. As a basketball fan, the West is where I'm drawing my attention. I don't give a crap about the Eastern Conference. because it's been boring. It's been bad. Hockey, I can't believe I'm going to say this in hockey. This is the first time I will ever admit this in my life. And I've watched hockey since I was young, very young, little boy. The Western Conference in hockey has been better than the Eastern Conference in hockey. And that's crazy to me. Because the East is better in hockey than the West.
It was better. I still think the West was better last year.
I think it was more debatable. I think the East, there was some Eastern Conference.
Because they actually won some games.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like five, and every series was like six to seven games, which is normal for hockey. I can't remember the last time that I saw a sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals. I can't remember. This is sad. This is pathetic. The Carolina Hurricanes, you guys suck. I'm over you. I will never cheer for you again. You have depleted me. This is sad, pathetic performance.
Man, I wanted to leave that one.
You put up goose egg on your home ice. Who does that? Nobody. This is not the team that I saw. It's like watching the Cavs again. They ain't the same team I watched in rounds one and two. They're not the same team.
So everybody, if you have not watched last, you know, couple episodes of the show, the last couple weeks.
Here we go. I'm going to have a heart attack.
Hunter and I, Hunter, for the last, so over the past couple years, you know, we went from radio show, right, to start, like, if you go last year to this time last year when the Hurricanes were in the playoffs, Hunter has always picked the Hurricanes. He always picks them in the Eastern Conference. The last 3 years consistently. So our deal was this year, if the Hurricanes make the Eastern Conference Finals and blow it again, he cannot talk about them next year. He's not allowed to speak about
it. I won't say a word. Well, I will still pick them, but I'm not going into deep or detail. So, I'm not doing it again.
But here's what's the great part about this, right? At the beginning of last week's episode, Hunter talked about the Hurricanes and the Panthers. This is going to be a long, drawn-out series. It's going to be competitive. And my Hurricanes.
You said the same thing, though. You said the same thing.
But listen, Hunter has he has dissed the defending champs for two or three rounds.
We'll never respect the Florida Panthers. Get out of here.
He's dissed him in the first round.
No.
He dissed him in the second round. He's now dissed him in the third round. And the team he mostly wanted to go to the finals out of the Eastern Conference is getting all, is, this episode could be swept or going to win in five. Regardless, the Panthers are beating them down. They beat. Listen, it's not even close. One game, the Hurricanes couldn't even score points. They're not even a hockey team.
I agree.
For me, this is wonderful. It is wonderful. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers. Got all my love. You know, thank you for putting this Hurricanes love to bed by Hunter.
Okay.
I still got the Oilers winning the whole thing, which, you know, it looks like it's, you know, panning out because this dude picks Stars in seven. And if the Stars lose the next game, they're really done. But
I want Connor McDavid to leave Edmonton. I'm the biggest Connor McDavid fan you've ever seen, but I want him out of Edmonton. I really do. I think he needs to leave Edmonton. And I've said that before. I think Auston Matthews needs to get the hell out of Toronto.
I've been saying Auston Matthews has got
to
go.
I'm telling you right now, if he does leave, you are going to see one of the biggest contracts and free agency in NHL history.
Yeah, watch him be to the Golden Knights. Because they'll have the money.
Why would you say that?
Because they have the money. It's Vegas.
No. Vegas
got the money.
No, Vegas has proven time and time again, super teams do not work in hockey. I've said this a million times.
Good because the Kings.
They are not. If Auston Matthews goes to the Canes.
Not the Kings, the Kings.
Ew, gross. No, if he does that, I have to hate him. And I feel bad, but no.
No, Connor McDavid, I was saying. If he left Edmonton and went to the Kings.
If my favorite player in the freaking league goes to the Kings, I'm probably going to just hang myself. I will be so upset and depressed.
That's brutal.
I will not like Connor McDavid anymore. If he puts on an LA Kings jersey, I have to hate him. Sworn oath.
But, man, Panthers have looked solid through the Eastern Conference Finals.
If Florida does go, I'm picking the Western Conference team 100%. I will not root for Florida. Don't ask me why.
I got the Oilers winning the whole thing. This is comeback season. This is revenge for Connor McDavid.
I was happy that Florida won last year. I was. I mean, I wasn't shocked. I mean, obviously, I rooted for Connor McDavid. Duh. But I wasn't mad. I like Matthew Tkachuk. I really do. I'm a Matthew Tkachuk guy. I know stars in the hockey, and he's definitely one of them. And Bennett and Reinhart are underrated. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Florida's got a good team. I was happy they won one, and now it's time for someone else. I don't like, no. Just get out of the way. Move. Your time. You had your time. Got your ring. Get out.
Yeah, but I have to agree with you. NHL playoffs have – the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference finals even really have not been all exciting. I have not been all jumpy-downy about – I know I'm happy about the Panthers winning, but it's not like I really wanted to watch any of that series at all. It's been awful.
Well, I mean, it's just like – and I'm coming at it from a fan point view in both sports, right? Like, I'm coming at it as a strictly sport fan. Like, you know, like a fan of hockey, a fan of sports. NHL playoffs are usually good. In the West, yes. Yes, Western Conference NHL has been awesome. It really has been. You're talking 6-7 game series. East had one. That was it. It's usually been in 5. And NBA has been just awful. Just awful on the Eastern side. It's been bad.
I will have to say this, though. Orange and blue skies. I will have to say.
Orange and blue sky. Huh, I wonder who you're referring to, Cam.
Everything. Listen, game 3. It looked like a fail. It really did. It looked like we're going down tubes. Not being mean when I say this, Carl Anthony Towns, I appreciate the 20 points in the fourth quarter. Been better if we'd have done that, you know, 3 quarters before that, and you know, started actually instead of 4 points in the first 3 quarters and then wanting to actually come play basketball at some point. It'd have been nice if you would have just attended earlier. But I'll tell you, Josh Hart's a dog. The guy was a dog. At the end of the game, they're getting the rebounds. You know, going up and getting the rebound, fighting for the boards, doing what he had to do. Jalen Brunson, and I will give all love to Carl Anthony Towns. He deserves more than credit. You know, when we needed him the most, he answered the call. Something he has struggled, even in Minnesota throughout his career, is when they need him the most, he never answers the call. And guess what? New York needed a prayer, and he was there last night. Mitchell Robinson showed up on defense very well at the end of the game there. Love what I saw defensively. And then Jalen Brunson, clutch player of the year. I mean, Jalen Brunson, when you need him the most, he's there. That floater at the end of the game there really gave us the lead, and then we never looked back. Indiana's had a great series, and I will say this from, you know, being a Knicks standpoint, we lost confidence after game 1. We were up 14 in game 1.
I agree with that.
The Knicks were up 14 in game 1, felt good, you know, felt good about ourselves. They were, and then all of a sudden, boom, back that. The Pacers are back in the game. Halliburton hits a shot. We're going to overtime. It's looking like a complete nightmare. You know what I mean? Everything's going wrong for the Knicks. Game 2, confidence dropped. It just dropped. But game 3, starting out, it looked like the Pacers were going to run away with it. It really did.
They were up by like 20.
20
they
points. Were they were 20, 20, 20 right? points. No, it's just 20
oh,
points.
Oh, they were. Oh, it was just 20. I thought it was like 22.
This is the third 20-point comeback for the Knicks in this playoffs. What I love about Thib is that this team keeps fighting. They keep going no matter what. Their defense got – the defense that was at the end of game 3 was the defense we played against the Celtics. That's what it looked like. This confidence level just arose out of nowhere, and I think it all stemmed from Carl Anthony Towns. I think it stemmed from him, you know, let's go, you know what I mean? Let's get going, let's get it together. And then Josh Hart, defense, rebounds, Mitchell Robinson. I mean, even Deuce McBride was in there. You know, listen, the dude ran and tried to dunk on Pascal Siakam. I know he's drawing the foul, but I mean, dude, he literally bodied Pascal Siakam like he was Giannis. He was Giannis Antetokounmpo in there, you know what I mean? He was going after
him. It was funny.
They just rose up and took it from them. And so now, what I look at, when you go into game 4, yet I don't think the Knicks need to be ultra-confident, but I think they need to find their confidence again. And Josh Hart, you know, in game 3, elected to be benched. He come off the bench. He elected it before the game because he wanted to stretch the floor a little bit more. Him, you know, that's real leadership, right? You know, let some other guy go in there. And then so you can take the advantage somewhere else. Let the Knicks grab their confidence. Got to go into game 4. Have to get a win. Have to get the win so we can take home court advantage back at the Garden. Got to get back to the Garden with home court advantage. I think if the Knicks can manage to pull out a decisive win, I'm not saying a win by 2 to 4 points. I'm saying a win by 10 points. You know what I mean? Get a decisive win, we can win this series. The Knicks can win this series. I think last night's
It's not over.
No, I think last night was the start of the return for the New York Knicks because it looked bad. But they have got to push themselves in game four. It has to be pushed, and that's what they got to do. And listen, I love what I saw from game three. Love the tenacity. I love the fight. I love all that stuff. But game four, we've got to elevate. Carlton Towns.
Starts.
Listen, Carlton Towns, love the 20 points in the fourth quarter. Don't need it in the fourth quarter again. How about we do that, you know, throughout the game?
Yeah, no, yeah, you guys can't start off slow in game four. You can't.
Bridges. We need Bridges, Brunson. And listen, same team. Let's just keep fighting. Keep fighting. Every possession matters. Thibodeau knows what to do. Tom Thibodeau knows what to do.
We got Coach Tib.
The Knicks have got this. I still will keep my pick, Knicks and six. I think they can pull it off. I really do. And I know you had Knicks and seven. But it's still possible. You know, but I think the Knicks can still pull out a win in this series. Love what I saw from game three from the New York Knicks.
There is one thing that I want to talk about real quick, and I'm actually going to defend your team, believe it or not. NBA. Officials, I'm talking to you. I don't know what the hell you're calling on Jalen Brunson, but you got to stop. I mean, there was some calls that I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what are you doing? This is my biggest problem with NBA. You're not allowed to use your body on defense to stop someone from going to the hole, correct? They call that now a blocking foul, which I think is bullshit. That drives me absolutely insane. But on offense, you're allowed to use your body, like your shoulder, to create separation to score. To me, that's bullcrap. If you're going to call it one way, you got to call it the other way. But when I saw Nesmith take a shoulder to Jalen Brunson and Brunson fell all the way down and they called that a block on him.
I still think that was a charge. That was a charge.
Oh, 100%. That was 120% a charge.
Yeah.
And when they called that a block, I'm like, what are you doing? What do you mean? That was not a block. Brunson got shouldered into his chest. He lost his balance and fell down. Well, yeah, if I had a bigger guy putting a shoulder into me, I'd fall down too. So my question is, it's the playoffs. It's the conference finals. You want to let him play, I'm all about it. I'm all about letting him play. But you can't say let him play and then call that a block when it was clearly 120% a charge. That's what gets me. And they have been calling fouls on him that are tic-tac the whole series. Because he's been close to fouling out in this series at least twice.
Well, the whole Knicks lineup has been in foul trouble all series. All series long. Karl-Anthony Towns had 5 last night. I mean, the Josh Hart had 3. Bridges had 3. Deuce McBride had 3. There was one guy had 4 last night.
I'm not trying to say the refs are at fault for either team winning or losing. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is they're
kind of... Evenly call the game.
Exactly.
If
you're going to call it one way, call it the other. Because it's bullcrap for the defense not to be able to use their bodies to, you know, to stop you from scoring. But yet you won't call it on the offense for them trying to get an easy bucket. That's what I don't like.
Foul calling in the NBA, it's not justifiable, really. I mean, to me...
It's not.
To me, there are calls that need to be made, and then there's not. And then you have the regular season to where everything's being called to in the playoffs where they let them play more, but they don't know what to call and what not to call. So it's kind of like a catastrophe, you know what I mean? You're blending...
That's awful.
You're blending the NBA's regular season where they call a lot of fouls throughout games to the NBA playoffs where they lenient, get off, you know, calling fouls and go lenient with just foul calling. But then you're blending them together and it kind of causes a disaster.
That's why you should just let them play regular season and postseason. It needs to be called the same way. Or just do this like we all want. Let them play physical basketball like they are supposed to. They're getting paid millions of dollars. Make them play physical basketball. Quit the tic-tac. Quit the baby and they're grown men. Let them play.
I almost think it's to the point where the NBA can't go back. I don't think, you know, with the development of the young kids, development of players today, I don't see how the NBA could go back to what it was. I think that's gone. I just don't see it because it takes out a lot of talent. It takes out guys like Curry. I mean, it really does. Curry couldn't really play in a physical type era, you know, with the Pistons or anything like that.
He would have never benefited. Needs to go back. I'm not saying he needs to go back to the way it needs to be, like the 80s or 90s. But, dude, at least let them forearm them in the chest when they're coming through the paint and let them use their body to help stop. If you're going to allow the offense to put a shoulder in somebody to create separation and space for you to make a shot,
the defense should
be able to allow to use their body to stop them on defense.
Well, it's the same thing we complain about with, you know, 6 months of the NFL, right? We complain about the tic-tac-y calls they make all game long, or, you know, the hits or the, you know what I mean, the holdings.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. For most of the time, I hate to say it, the offensive line guys, a lot of them are holding anyway. That's what happens. A lot of guys are doing that anyway. It's kind of hard to call. They're calling it all the time.
I think holding. Now this is my thing. I know I'm going to get some heat for this. I don't think you should call holding unless it has to do something with the play. Like if a guy's holding the guy and he's running back gives up behind him while he's holding the defender and scores a touchdown, that's fine. That I get. But if I get the ball to the running back on a sweep and he goes 70, 60 yards down the field for a touchdown and you got holding all the way back here, I'm like, dude, he's already gone. You shouldn't call that. That had nothing to do with the play.
I also think in the NFL, PI has been really – PI has gotten really bad too. I mean, like, we're touching PI is getting bad.
Yeah, corners and safeties cannot play against receivers anymore, and it's sad. It's literally – hand fighting is a part of the game.
But we're not here to talk about the NFL today. We got to talk about that later. But, I mean –
No, we'll talk about that before regular season.
So, yeah, Knicks, Pacers, going to be a long, drawn-out series. But I love us even the Knicks. We talked about the Thunder. We talked about the Wolves. I guess we talked about the Panthers. We talked about the Hurricanes. Now it's time to Connor McDavid and the Dallas Stars. You had Stars in 7. I had Connor McDavid and the Oilers in 7. I still think it's a hard-fought battle. I really do. I don't think this series any...
I'm telling you right now, Dallas is not done.
No. This series is nowhere close to me. I still think it's going to go 7 games.
Yeah.
I tell you, though, I think it's game... Correct me if I'm wrong. Game 1, the Stars won, right? So Dallas have...
Yeah.
So Oilers have won 2 straight, right? Game 3 is very pivotal for Dallas. You know, you're going back to Edmonton. It's game 4. Game 4 is a pivotal game. The Stars, right? You really need game 4. Bad. You want to go back home, right? You want to take the lead from them. Connor McDavid, they're going to rally around Connor McDavid. Edmonton's going to rally hard. And so I think, you know, if you're the Stars, you've been dominant all season. You've looked awesome throughout these playoffs. You fought against Colorado, Nathan MacKinnon. You fought – who they play in the second round? Sorry.
They beat Winnipeg.
They beat the Jets, right? The Jets won 7 games with St. Louis. McDavid and them, really, I hate to say it, after they've gotten the lead in the series, they've run away with it. They ran away on the Kings 4 straight. They ran away on the Golden Knights. They've run every time that they get control, they run away. The Stars cannot let them run away in game 4. It cannot happen. Because if they run away, I don't think the Stars will get another game.
There's one guy I want to call out for Dallas.
You always got people
Jason,
to call out.
Jason Robertson, you're it, buddy. You're the factor. You're going to decide game 4. You're not scoring goals. You're not getting assists. You're an offensive weapon. They need you. You got to show up game 4. It's going to be on you, big man. They've missed you. You didn't play the first round. Botnan, you got to get after it. Jamie Benn, you're the reason I picked you guys. You deserve a cup. You've been around forever. You're still one of my favorite players. I like a lot of hockey players. I just now realized that.
Yeah, we know.
But anyways, I know. If I didn't have a team, I'd just like watch players.
No, but I know.
Jason Robertson's going to be the factor. He's got to get going. He's got to show up, and he's got to play. He hasn't had zero goals this playoff run. He was hurt for game one, so I understand. But, dude, he's got to step up. He's got to shine. This is his time.
Right.
It's going to be up to him. Him and Ben got to get it figured out.
I mean, it's going to be – that's the only hockey series that's competitive. That's right. I mean, that's the only one that's
interesting. Yeah, there's no point in even talking about Carolina. They just
we've already been over that. Yeah, we covered the basics of both, right? Talked about the NBA. We talked about the NHL. Exciting news for the West Virginia Mountaineers. They made the tournament, and they will face Kentucky this Friday for the Clemson Regional. They're in the Clemson Regional. West Virginia made the Clemson Regional, I gotta see ya.
We play Kentucky, ew.
Yeah, we do.
What time is that?
It's a noon game on Friday.
Ew, that's gross. I'll be working.
Yeah, it's a noon game. Yeah, they got the entire tournament starts Friday. For everybody. Friday's games, you got Florida plays East Carolina. You have UNC and TCU. UNC and TCU. Alabama and Miami. Yeah, Alabama and Miami. Nebraska and Oklahoma. Nebraska just won the Big Ten.
That'll be good. Nebraska just won the Big Ten. Yeah, that'll be a good one, dude.
So that'll be a big time. Clemson plays SC Upstate for in their side. Creighton and Kansas also play.
That could be a shocker. That could be an upset.
I'm interested, though. I mean, for me, West Virginia. They're 41-14 on the season. Kentucky is 29-24.
Yeah, we got spanked in the Big 12 tournament.
Arizona mauled West Virginia. Pretty good.
West Virginia doing what they do best. Choke at the great best times. We will be getting into some MLB soon, though, guys, too. So keep that in mind. Also, the French Open is here. French Open just started. First round. What? Yeah, I love some tennis, bruh.
Nothing. I didn't
Taylor
say anything.
Taylor Fritz got beat. Freaking piece of crap he is. I'm very upset with him.
Okay.
Dude, he was ranked fourth and he lost to a nobody. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, West Virginia plays Kentucky, the Clemson, and Upstate. So I'd say we're going to play. If we play and beat Kentucky, we'll play Clemson. If they beat UNC Upstate.
I would say so.
If we beat Clemson, we'll play the winners of Rhode Island, DBU, LSU, and Little Rock. So LSU probably be the one.
That's
the
an
one
easy
seed.
Region.
Yeah, LSU's really got the cakewalky over there. But
no kidding, that sounds terrible.
But you know, I hope the best for the Mountaineers. I really do. I want the best for them. Probably by luck, they'll get blown out by Kentucky. Kentucky will maul them off the field, and that's pretty much how that will end. Happens to every
probably.
Time. Every time you get upset about West Virginia. Yeah, we'll talk about baseball here soon.
That's why we're alcoholics.
It's 50 games in to the MLB season. And I'll tell you, there are some, I will say, you know, because it's not a topic we're going to highly jump into today because we know there's a lot more we can cover on baseball. But I will say, when I look across the board, the Detroit Tigers are awesome this year. They are awesome in the AL. They are 35-20 on the season.
Biggest division in the AL.
Yeah, but dude, listen, I mean, it's the Tigers.
That's like saying the Cubs are good.
I mean, the Cubs are 33-21. They're 33-21.
We're in the weakest division in the National League. What do you mean?
Love that Ronald Acuna's back. Love that Ronald Acuna's back.
I do love me some Acuna. Acuna Jr. He's a dog.
I'll tell you a little bit of a surpriser is the Giants. They're 31-23 on the season so far.
Yeah, they're pretty.
They're a game and a half back on the Dodgers.
You know, there is one team that I'm very, very disappointed in.
No, who?
What in the world is going on in Colorado? What the heck is that? what's the heck's going on?
If I'm positive, by the way, correct me if
they
I'm
were
8-42
the last time I looked at them.
They're
9-45
right now. I don't even think they have the lowest paid roster. The Marlins do. The Marlins are 21-30 on the season. Dude, even the Athletics are 23-31 this year.
I've never seen a team in the MLB have 9 wins in this many games. It is bonkers to me that you are 9-45.
I'll tell you the team that everybody's disappointed in.
Who?
Is the Orioles. That happened in Baltimore now. I mean,
Yeah, they're bad.
They're 19-34.
From last year.
They're 19-34. Bad. Well, they traded Corbin Burns. That didn't help.
That's part of the reason.
Apparently, the theory is, and I could be wrong because I'm not a – I don't look into the, you know, the whole situation of Baltimore and what's going on with the Orioles. But they didn't spend – they don't spend a whole lot of money. They have the theory that they could go farming and they don't have to spend any money for anybody. And Adley Rutschman has been awful. Gunnar Henderson has not been very good. I mean, listen, I could be wrong. I heard somebody come up with the theory that, you know, was talking about that for the Orioles, but
the only farm team I trust in the MLB is the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, Reds fans, I gave you a compliment. You probably have the best farm team in the entire league.
That's debatable.
Dude, they have a good farm team.
I'm not saying they don't, have but the Astros had a really good farm team too in their playoff runs.
Dog water. They choke.
No, bro. What are you talking about?
They choke.
All right, we can hop into baseball later. All right.
Yeah,
well,
baseball,
34 minutes,
America's pastime.
34-minute show. Not our longest episode, but we covered what we had to cover. We do have a WWE episode coming out this week. Cody Rhodes is back. Money
Thank
in
God.
The bank.
Thank God. I can start watching again. Thank God.
We got Money in the Bank, so tune into that episode. It's coming out Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, hope y'all enjoy this episode. And we got finals coming up. We'll see y'all next week.
See you guys. Like and subscribe.
Go Knicks!